Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Hello all, welcome to the final race review of the 2013 season. It's flown by, I would say, the 2013 season. And here we are looking back at the final race of it. And that was, of course, in Brazil at the weekend. I am Michael Bailey and I'm joined by Kyle Cumbers. Hello there, Kyle.
Hello there.
Are you well?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. Good. I'm not bad at all. We are a man short. Perry has decided that cooking is dinner. he's been interrupted. He is away, but we've got a couple of lines from him that I can introduce as we go along. It's quite a short one as well, because what we'll do is we'll have a look at this here final race of the season, and then we will be back in time to go through the entire season with our season review podcast from a pub near us soon. As I've said before, Scampi Fries. I'm desperately hoping. Anyway, let's get stuck into it, shall we then? Interlagos, a signing off kind of a race, wasn't it, Kyle? It always seemed to be a lot of signing off things, which I suppose is typical.
Obviously, Webber retiring. Massa looked like he was retiring from all his goodbyes he was doing, but he's only just moving teams. So, well, I suppose it's big leaving Ferrari. He's been there for a good few years. So, but yeah, so I had a very end of season feel about it, it's obvious, but and sort of relaxed feeling. I think everything's settled, so which turned out to be a good race. I think from that, because everybody was settled, and it was just one last time. Here we go. And also, I think the weather as well, non-stop rain on Friday and Saturday. And it was a good final weekend.
It was a good final weekend. Yeah. The rain was bizarre. I still can't work out how it didn't actually rain on the Sunday. Because at one point, there seemed to be in like this mist of rain that wasn't actually falling downwards.
Yeah, sort of
bizarre.
Constant sort of camera angles, and there's always spots of rain on there, but it didn't actually seem to hit the track. And like I said, it got very dark at some points, but I think for an hour and a half of the race, I think everybody's just waiting for it to come, but which might have spiced up a little bit.
Well, I'd argue probably everyone apart from those at Red Bull were hoping for rain. It seemed to be the message from Ferrari and McLaren and everyone. It was just give us some rain.
I think especially the way Mercedes set up, they seem very slow in a straight line, as the early laps showed. But I think they were definitely set up for the rain, high downforce. But I think it also affected the strategies as well, because I think everybody was just always trying to stay out for a few laps longer because we're expecting the rain, but it never came.
there was that, of course, and also the safety car, which almost scuppered Red Bull's strategy at one point. We should touch on the flying Red Bulls. What a season. Domination at the end, a 1-2 with Webber and Vettel. Vettel having won 9 races on the trot. He's basically had the second half of the season to himself, and obviously been completely dominant, and was again in Brazil, it must be said. We've sort of said it all, really, haven't we?
Yeah, I think
season review might be tricky.
Yeah, you can't really add too much to Red Bull. They're sort of, like I said, the second half of the year since the change of the tyre compounds or whatever they probably did. They've dominated, really. I mean, in Vettel's qualifying lap, was he 8 tenths quicker? That's quite scary, really. I mean, he slowed down on his second lap as well, which, that's a good way of showing the season, really, with 2 Red Bulls, 1-2, and Alonso sort of struggling and battling along and behind him, really. So
he's the sort of changeable possible conditions probably did Fernando a bit of a favor. I mean, the good thing about what Vettel did, I think, on this occasion, while he had a bad start, he obviously still had enough to get past Rosberg on the opening lap. I mean, it's just so you just know what's going to happen. There's like an aura around that car at the moment. You just know what he's going to do.
Just made it look easy, really.
It does.
And like I said, you knew what was going to happen. And then before you know it, there's always that sort of first five laps. They sort of, you follow the battle. And there's a few, on Sunday, for example, there's a few places being changed, sort of second to sixth position. And then they pan out the start-finish line and Vettel's just nearly a straight ahead. And you sort of, sit there and go, how's he got that far ahead so quickly? That just happens every time.
It does. So. It's going to be very interesting. Just hope at some point we return to this situation where he's having to fight a bit harder, because I think we want to see him. He's obviously doing phenomenal things at the moment, but we just want to see him fight for them as well. Obviously, the opposite side of the garage, Mark Webber's final race in Formula One. What an occasion. I mean, I think Eddie Jordan almost suggested that he would have liked Seb to move across and let Mark win. Now, A, it was never going to happen.
No.
B, I don't think Mark would have wanted that.
No, I don't
think he'd have hated it.
Exactly, yeah.
Could you imagine it? It'd have been so patronising.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, he wanted to win on merit, by him beating Vettel, not by Vettel going, all right, I'll slow up for the last five laps and let you pass. And I think Webber was quite pleased with his final race. As he said afterwards, he had a good battle with the people he's raced with for a long while. It was Hamilton, Alonso, Rosberg, and I think it's part of the reason why maybe he's retiring. But I think he's kind of accepted that, especially on his Pirelli tyres, he can't really get close enough to Vettel, and especially his bad starts, which. It wasn't his worst one, but yeah.
No.
There is
a range of how bad they are.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad bad one. But I think he's really pleased with the way it finished. And also, because I think beforehand he said, I'm not going to get emotional. If I get emotional, that's the wrong decision that I'm leaving. But I think beforehand, he was struggling a bit. And he said that afterwards, the hardest bit was getting in the car, getting in the car for the last time. So,
yeah. No, it was nice the engineers telling him to enjoy the final lap.
Yeah. On that. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, nice touch.
And him taking his helmet off on the parade lap. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was different, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Like I said, you don't get to see F1 drivers' faces when they're driving around. It's a different touch. And I think it was more for him than the show. And,
yeah. It was a bit. It was a Mark Webber touch, though.
Yeah.
I think there was something.
Yeah.
Out of all the things he could have done, I think taking his helmet off was probably the one that sort of sat best. And he didn't get fined or hammered for it, which I was expecting.
I thought the stewards could have done it a bit of a laugh, sort of just pulled him up to the stewards' room and said, sorry, Mark, but as you're leaving, a bit of a present, you've got a 10-place grid penalty.
For the next race. Exactly.
I think it would have been a nice touch. Just
It would have been. There was lots of great things surrounding Mark Webber's exit. The one thing I think is best that he did finish second, and he did get to be on the podium, because in the build-up, David Coulthard was obviously talking about his last Grand Prix a lot, which of course lasted about half a lap or something, and he just didn't want that to happen to Mark, and it could have done with some of the luck he's had.
He said afterwards he saw Massa inside him, and I thought about Coulthard. DC. That's cool. I thought about DC, and I just wanted to get past the first two corners.
And probably then the most annoying thing was Sebastian Vettel finally having a pit stop go wrong. Finally. And who's behind him? Mark Webber. Somehow getting held up by Sebastian Vettel's own mistake. I mean, if he hadn't been called in then, Mark, if they hadn't stacked them, you could argue that Webber would have been in a very... very good position because the safety car never came out that they were expecting.
He probably would have gone on to win it, probably.
Just if that doesn't sum up his last few years at Red Bull.
Yeah.
I think that's nailed, really. Okay, then, for the final time in our review podcast, it's time for these EDP F1 pit stops. And we're going to start off close to home because things have wrapped up, obviously. Lotus had a pretty really poor final weekend, it has to be said. Grosjean's engine, whereas most of the teams were running them out after the race finished.
Yeah, decided to do it.
Grosjean's went within a couple of laps. It was a proper blowout as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of old school blowout.
That's the way.
It was, you sort of... sort of 15 years ago or 20 years ago, that was quite common. But nowadays, just to see a big blow up is sort of a highlight, really.
Yeah.
It's just something different.
Might be more common next season.
It could be.
We'll have to see. Yeah, it was a proper smoke across the track job.
Yeah, I think. Poor old Max had to slow down to get
he did, yes.
Indeed. See where he's going.
I mean, it didn't really affect Roman's season. He was already tucked away in the championship and where he was, and I think he's done well enough in the second half to show him what he's capable of. Bit of a shame. Maybe a slightly different case for Heikki Kovalainen, who had a terrible start, which I think he admitted to himself. He just got it wrong. And that probably happens when you literally drafted him for the last two races into a completely new car. And in the end, Lotus's bid to finish higher than fourth in the Constructors' Championship sort of petered out, really.
Yeah, unfortunately. A little bit sorry for Kovalainen, because it's been proved in previous years, especially when Fisichella joined Ferrari, I think it was 09. He'd been racing the first half of the year. I suppose Massa's injury, wasn't it? Yeah, he replaced him. And then he struggled really badly, and he'd been racing through the year, and he jumped into a new team. So, his sort of one lap pace looked fairly decent, but I think it was just his starts, which doesn't help. And also maybe looking after the tyres, which the rest of the drivers have got, 18 more races of experience. Exactly. So it's a shame he didn't get a point. At least, one point would have been...
You would have ended his run, which has obviously extended since being at Caterham, when there was obviously more reason for it existing. Heikki couldn't turn down the chance to race the last two races for Lotus, but I can't help thinking that might be it now.
Yeah, I suppose some people say, is it a risk for him to take it? And so whenever you get a chance to drive an F1 car, also, a quick F1 car as well for Heikki, he had to give it a go, because if he didn't take it, I mean, what does that look like to the rest of the teams that he's, he had to take the risk and maybe a bit of luck in Texas, he looked stronger than he did here. So maybe the rain obviously didn't help. He didn't get any setup time, but I think shame he didn't get a point in Texas, where maybe Kerr's problems and front wing problems sort of affected that. But he had to give it a go. He had to give it a go. So
it doesn't bring any money, Heikki. That's the issue, and he's not going to. He's made that pretty clear. He's not going to be bringing any money. Employ him on his merits. And the answer to that might be no. We'll have to see.
I thought it would be quite funny if the race had been raining and that, and Caterham had a chance of getting the 13th position. I would have found it quite funny if it had been the one that stopped
in the
that,
way.
That stopped that, and then maybe stopped his chances of any drive next year.
Have you got the exact finishing position for Heikki?
14th.
That was enough for him to finish ahead of Max Chilton in the Drivers' Championship standings, which will have pleased Max.
He finished ahead of Vern and Maldonado.
He did indeed. He did indeed. And as you said, he has still got that pace over one lap. His qualifying efforts in both circuits were pretty good. We'll have to see. Fingers crossed for you, Heikki. Fingers crossed. Speaking of his former team Caterham, they were nowhere near it, really. I mean, the race didn't provide opportunities, but let's be honest, this second half of the season, there really hasn't really been an opportunity.
No,
for
like I said, there's
a weird finish.
There's been no rain. Well, as you said, a little bit of rain, but not a peculiar race, really, to get involved, really. Especially as they have been quicker than Marussia for three quarters of the season. Didn't have the luck maybe they needed, that, or Marussia took the opportunity early in the season, and unfortunately that was it. But also doesn't help when Charles Peake had to retire.
He did, yeah. So, he was the highest running of the young teams.
Yeah, but Vandegaard, did he get penalty? Blue flags, was
it? He did, yeah. He got a drive-through, didn't he, I think? So that really means that Marussia, for the first time in both teams' first four seasons, finish 10th and get a lot of extra money, millions and millions of pounds. Caterham miss out on that for the first time. It's going to be very interesting how that plays out. But, I mean, arguably, the luck that they didn't get this year, maybe they got it last year in pipping them in the final race.
Very true.
Or it evens itself out. But it's been a very difficult season. I mean, Caterham, them finishing ahead of their younger teams was just a given, really, from the moment they came onto the grid. That was the minimum requirement. Yeah. Mike Gascoigne pedalled that a lot, and then it was a question of closing in the on the midfield, and it's just sort of gone backwards, really.
Yeah, I mean, they struggled to start the year, especially with the car, didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't have a new one.
No.
That didn't help.
And so it sort of developed that in a way, but yeah, maybe next year the rule changes, they can get closer. I always wonder, I think these sort of mid, we hear these mid teams are struggling financially. Maybe it is like Caterham and Marussia are working to their budget in a way.
Yeah, bringing so, them down to their level.
So
maybe.
They are, you know, they're not getting themselves in financial mess that mid teams are. So, you know, maybe they're doing a good job in that way. But
that's a very, very fair point. Regression to the mean, maybe. Well, fingers crossed, Caterham and Marussia both appear on the grid next year.
Yeah.
Which I think will happen. Mm. I don't think, well, unless Caterham have been particularly silly, they should have appreciated where they were going to end up this year. It may just affect the drivers who are in the cars next year. Just nipping back to Lotus, of course, that might transpire transfer to them as well, because it seems that Pastor Maldonado might be in line for that seat.
Yes.
Place of Heikki and Kimi next year. That could interest them. Give us some interesting comments maybe for next season. Let's just touch briefly on Marussia. Max Chilton finished all 19 races.
Yeah.
Not very well, admittedly, but he did finish them.
Yeah.
It is a record. Rookie record.
Yeah, not bad, a rookie. Yeah, so at least he's not smashing up front wings like other rookies have. And he's probably, you know, brings a bit of money and he's not smashing up cars. And also for that car as well to finish every race. I mean, that's quite an achievement from Marussia in that way, you know. So yeah, I mean, I hope Max is on the grid next year. I think in GP2 he struggled his first year, and then second year really improved and won the races, so maybe that's, you know, his style. Conservatively takes it first year and then shows his pace in the second year. So he's a nice chap as well.
A nice boy. He's very affable. 90% sure he reckons that he'll be on the grid next year, because he couldn't physically say 100%. So, we'll see. Fingers crossed. Lots of drivers' lineups still to be sorted out. McLaren. Kyle, McLaren showed up.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Yeah. As a sort of commentator saying, oh, it's a good weekend or a good Sunday for McLaren, but fourth and sixth, yeah, this season is good for them, but the overall picture of McLaren, they shouldn't be pleased with a fourth and a sixth. But seemed to be that maybe they're very proud of their simulator at Woking and how much work they do beforehand. So maybe they had a very good dry setup from that, and that's where they went. But obviously they had a dreadful Saturday. 14th and 16th, was it?
I know that they both picked up a huge amount of places.
Yeah, Jensman was 14th, and oh yeah, Perez started 19th, didn't he, with his
penalty.
So, yeah, better, but it's been a dreadful season, really, for no podium.
No podium all season, which is just...
First time since 1980?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And almost unheard of, really, for a McLaren. But, I mean, I suppose for a payment... For Jensen, I think he said even in the simulator, Brazil felt good to drive.
Yeah.
So at least there's a bit of...
He was happier than last weekend. Big surprise for Jensen to be in a bad mood. And yeah, sort of one-word answers, he wasn't, yeah.
I think he admitted it had been a tough few weeks for him. Ferrari, and we touched on Felipe Massa's final race for Ye Prancing Horse. It might have been a good one had he have not kept crossing over the pit lane entrance.
Yeah.
Which apparently was his own fault, and Rob Smedley could only give him so many warnings.
Yeah, apparently he was warned and he kept doing it. So.
And then he got really annoyed when he got the penalty.
I also wonder who's waving his arm at and hand at the time when he came for the pits. It was like, who's there? Who are you waving at? But he was, compared to the other drivers... He's taking a big cut out of that corner. So, he's warned about it, then he's a bit silly to keep doing it. So, this is a shame. He wasn't for a decent result. And it was good to see him sort of competing in the top five and a good battle with his old mate, Lewis. And Especially around that track as well, because they've got a bit of history.
Indeed, there. Yeah, so, just a bit.
So yeah, it's a shame, but yeah, it's good. Alonso had a decent qualifying and then got one of his decent starts and was able to fight with Webber. Not both Red Bulls, but yeah. So yeah, it's a decent finish for Alonso. Yeah, the first podium since Singapore, which is...
Yeah, it's shocking,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
for them.
It's
as,
a shocking run.
Yeah. As well. It's interesting with Felipe. He reckons that he's going to Williams. He still believes he can win races and get on the podium. Not in that car, he can't. Unless
no.
they turn it around. You never know. Yeah, we don't know what next
exactly.
Cars will
never
be,
know.
Do we? Who knows who'll be ahead of whatever. Although apparently they're going to be dog-ugly cars. You think that a couple
yeah.
of years ago they were ugly. This lot are going to be
sort of step noses, droopy noses. Of
droopy noses, really. Yeah. Horrible things. I did just want to finally tip just back to McLaren, Sergio Perez. His result meant that he pipped Paul Di Resta in the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah.
And then might well take his seat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Paul Di Resta, I think, dropped two places in championship standing. So, but yeah, Perez is... He's sort of showing the way to do it. When you sort of... Well, he's sacked from the team. You've got sort of comparing to Maldonado, who left the team and kicked up a fuss about, you know, tire pressures and it's all the team's fault. But yeah, Perez, you know, he's been pretty close to Button. I mean, points-wise, I mean, he's a fair way behind. But
on qualifying
yeah.
as well. There's not a lot between the two of them.
And apparently last year, you know, he wasn't a strong qualifier last year. So I think he's maybe improved that way. And I mean, yeah, he's had a decent season, really.
I think he's been a bit harshly
yeah.
dealt with. I
yeah.
think the whole reason he was brought in was to be given time to
yeah.
develop. That was
yeah.
the whole premise of it. And they've just sort of gone, nah. But as if they're blaming him for the fact that the car hasn't developed almost.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a scapegoat for that. But, they argue that this Magnussen is special and, you know, another one of the sort of Vettel, Hamilton, young drivers coming through. So maybe, I suppose, also, yeah, I think time will tell if Magnussen's really quick next year and they made the right decision. But if he's not, then maybe he's a bit harsh on Perez.
Yeah.
But you could argue, I mean, Button's the experienced head and maybe will help Magnussen, but I mean, Button's getting on a bit. You know, Perez is young. Why not, you know? Keep him in, and Magnussen maybe is a risk, but
send Jensen on his way. He says,
well,
good job, you know. DT's lying in. I tell you, wouldn't have stood for that for a moment. Great line from LEGP, who is one of the Autosport guys, isn't he, on Twitter? Just on Pastor Maldonado, he tweeted, Maldonado changes a bit after being PR'd. His quotes on Williams. It's been a great 3 years with this team, and they will stay in my heart forever. Right. Which is a bit different to, hang on, they sabotaged my car deliberately. So there we go. There's nothing like being PR'd,
no.
which I think is a cracking term in itself. Okay, well, it's time for our Of the Weekends. Just me and you, Kyle, but I did manage to grab a quick chat with the man, Ped. So he suggested two. He suggested Jenson Button as his driver
Ooh.
Of the weekend. I'll bring the other one up later.
My driver?
I think predominantly because he said he would have a good weekend and then he did. So it's actually for delivering his prediction.
Ah,
that's
okay.
really why he's giving
yeah,
it.
Yeah, back himself up.
Although I did have Jenson there and Sergio. Both had very good
yeah, they
drives.
Did, yeah.
And then obviously it was all about Mark Webber, wasn't it?
Yeah. my driver of the day would probably be Alonso, to be honest. Because Ferrari has been poor recently. As I sort of said earlier, he got, you know, decent qualifying, decent start, and he's been able to fight with Webber. I think Alonso. But yeah, I mentioned to Button and Perez for coming where they came, as mentioned earlier, from the grid positions. I'd say Mass was quick, unfortunately made a mistake. Alonso's the one that stood out
okay.
for me.
Luca de Montezemolo said he gave Alonso 8 out of 10 for his season's efforts. There's been a suggestion whether that's a little bit harsh, given that the car was rubbish and he's been driving, you know, the socks off it. That said, I'm not sure if Fernando's quite been at the same level as his last few years either.
I don't think he's been... He made a few mistakes early on in the season, if I remember. I think compared to previous years, he hasn't been to his, like you said, to his standard. He's had a decent year. I think his qualifying's been the thing that's let him down. His race pace has been good, but it's just his qualifying. He's having to battle back from 7th, 8th, 9th on the grid. So, races probably 9 out of 10. Qualifying, 5 out of 10 maybe for me, but yeah.
That's a bit of a recurring theme, isn't it, I think? How about GOAT of the weekend? Did you got one? I have a tough one, really. I have one, primarily for Rubens Barrichello for an interview he did before the race. A bit tenuous, I know this. Where he seemed very disappointed that Lotus hadn't given him the replacement drive for Kimi Raikkonen. He obviously went to Heikki, but he said it should have been him because he didn't get a proper goodbye in Formula One. He thought he was still going to have another season when the season ended, and then it ended and he didn't get to say goodbye. So he wanted, for presumably his own sentiment, to be given the Lotus drive so he could then drive at Brazil.
So he could drive around Brazil waving.
Have a practice at Austin and then get Brazil.
Yeah, well, that's strange. No. Orange Shirt, I think the TV station he works for in Brazil. He'll walk around in Orange Shirt. It's quite funny.
That's not good, is it? It was on the radio with Gary Anderson asking the questions, his good friend, which probably didn't help the situation. So there we go.
Nobody's entitled to the drive, you know.
He wanted his goodbye. He could have given it to Seb, but he came through, to be honest. On the podium, he offered very, very magnanimously the microphone to Mark first. I mean, all probably false because he's world champion. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
But he did that. He tried, I think, as good as
we can. He's almost saying the relationship isn't as bad as maybe we like to think. I mean, it isn't good. Especially you can see from the end of, when they're talking before they go on the podium. Maybe was talking to Alonso and kind of even ignoring Horner and Vettel. But
as tends to happen. And then tries to sort of get involved.
Hi, guys. I won.
But then, as Mark said himself, he probably has a better relationship with Fernando because they're not on the same team.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Which is a fair point, isn't it? And I think there's an interesting thing with Mark and Seb because I think they complement each other in terms of how they help develop the car.
Yeah.
And that might be a bit of a big miss for Red Bull next year. Mm. They're probably not going to go to the pub, as they've said themselves, together.
Not swapping Christmas cards or anything like that. But maybe in a few years, you know, Prost and Senna became friendly after a few years.
Exactly. You never know. Fingers crossed. Team of the weekend.
Ooh.
Now, Ped suggested Mercedes, primarily because it meant they used Brazil to book second in the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah, which...
Even though they didn't have a particularly good weekend.
No, I think they were hoping for rain. but yeah, I mean, finished second in the championship from fifth last year, which is, you know, a pretty big achievement, you know. Especially the end of last year, everybody's, you know, especially when Lewis signed, you know, why are you signing for them?
Yeah, they were terrible second half last year, weren't they?
And they were struggling to get the points at the end of last year. And that's a fair show. My team, I'll probably have to go quite boring, go Red Bull, just for their dominance, really.
That they did. Yeah. And they did kind of get everything right, apart from pit stop. But even that, the insurance of Mark Webber being behind probably did them a favour.
Just to keep going, really. Even though they won the championship, they just keep going. I mean, even bringing, it was one of the practice sessions, Vettel was driving around, one of the, sort of looks like a rake on the back, aero tracking device, and last race of the season, they've been trying things then, so they're constantly pushing, which is probably why they're where they are. So
it's amazing the gap they've opened up over the last few races as well, isn't it? I mean, that's a sign of it, that they've still pushed and pushed. I've got written down McLaren, because I think relatively speaking, it was very good, really, really good. I mean, they were far and away the best performers on the Sunday compared to qualifying, and they had a pretty good weekend
Just good to see him involved in the race, really.
Exactly, yeah. Lots of people will share that sentiment. Highlight?
Probably a few. Mine is slightly random. It's just the start-finish line in the first corner of Interlagos. Because it doesn't look like it's changed in 20 years. And I just love that view. And so much happens in that first corner. And you got the little dip, and they come down, they come up. And it's just, This is my heart. I can sit there all day just watching that first corner. And probably same again as last week. I think Mark Webber's overtake on Lewis Hamilton, which unfortunately I think we only saw from the cockpit of Mark Webber's car. We didn't actually see sort of an outside view. So, but yeah, that was my two highlights for the weekend.
It's interesting to they did a lap on the BBC with Jensen going around Interlagos, and he might be the radio taking them you through the lap. But of course, because he came out of the pit lane, he didn't take on the first corner, and then he came into the pit lane, so he didn't do the final corner onto the pit, which is like the best bits of that circuit. Yeah. They're absolutely fantastic. Oh well, never mind. I liked the Red Bull bush hats wearing, as well as the Waltzing Matilda. Although you know, Rolf Harris being played in a garage, not going to happen very often anymore, I don't think.
No.
But probably the best bit, there was an interview, and that's all interviews, I'm not even concentrating on the race. The interview with Fernando Alonso, again with the BBC before the race, saying that Seb, if he doesn't move teams and do what he's doing, it will reduce his achievement of these few years. It will actually be worse than if he just stays there. Really quite bitter comments from Fernando. It was a little window into what his thoughts are, given he's probably...
Worse is probably a bit harsh. I mean, I think it definitely will help his career if he moves on and does well at Ferrari, which seems to be the rumour that he wants to drive for. But, that seems a bit...
Needle.
Yes.
Needly. Love it. That's something to look forward to next year.
There's an interview Abu Dhabi, I think Sky did, and they asked him, what would you do to win another world title? And he sort of cut my left arm off. I mean, he's that desperate to... He's very desperate to win another title.
He was supposed to win his third title long before Sebastian Vettel did.
Exactly,
he had two before Sebastian was driving pretty much.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go for a career where, in his period, somebody beat him in the world titles, I suppose.
No. Oh, well, good luck with that, Fernando. I think that will do it. Carl, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Don't forget, edp24.co.uk/F1 for all the winter Lotus and Caterham news, obviously the driver lineups being announced and what have you. Keep an eye on there. We will have a season review podcast coming up very soon. Hopefully we'll record it in the next week or bit. Keep an eye out at edpf1 on Twitter and facebook.com/edpf1. We'll be trying to get some of your input into the end of season review. We'll want your reviews, maybe 3-word reviews of the drivers and things like that, the usual stuff. So keep an eye on those. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Thanks for all your contributions this season. We have got one more to go, the season review. Until then, goodbye.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.